Would you turn back to Acts chapter 16? This afternoon, Lynn and I are going to be going to Ohio State to see some doctors there about Lynn. And so remember us, and Aaron Greenleaf is going to be preaching for us tonight. I've entitled the message for this morning, Open or Opened? Open or opened? Look in verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira. Now, Thyatira was in Asia. Asia is the place where Paul was forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the gospel. But one of his elect were there, and he brought her out, this woman, Lydia, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. Well, I pray that the Lord will open my heart and your heart. Wouldn't it be a blessing of grace if our hearts were opened by the Lord? That's what took place with this woman. Her heart was opened by the Lord. Now, Lydia's heart had been closed to the truth. Let me repeat that. Lydia's heart, before this took place, had been closed to the truth. I'm going to read a passage from John chapter 8. You can turn there if you want. Verse 45. These are the words of the Lord. John 8, verse 45. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Now that's a remarkable statement, isn't it? Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? Which of you can prove any wrongdoing on any level with me? You know, he's the only one in the world who could say that. No one else has ever been able to say that. If you wanted to convince me of sin, you wouldn't have to look too long. It'd be real easy. And me with you as well. But he could say, which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? What a question. If I say the truth, you know, the truth ought to be believed. If I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Now look at this next statement. He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Now if I don't hear the truth, if I can't receive it, if I can't hear what's being said, the reason is, I'm not of God, and I have a closed heart. A heart closed to the truth. Now that is the result of being born into this world, dead in sins. Everybody is closed to the truth. We're open to everything else, but by nature, we're closed to the truth. But thank God the Lord opened her heart. And if I ever hear the gospel, it's going to be because the Lord opens my heart. Now, we have all heard of open-minded people and closed-minded people. There is such a thing as being open-minded and closed-minded. Now, when you're closed-minded, you view your opinions as facts. That's scary, isn't it? When you're closed-minded, you view your opinions as facts. When you're open-minded, you realize your opinions are just that, opinions, and not necessarily factual. You realize there are other points of view, and you realize there are things that you are just ignorant of and don't know anything about. Now, I want to be open-minded to all that God says. And I want to be close-minded to anything that's contrary to what God says. I want that desperately. Now let me remind you what God says. Let me say this about the Scripture. The Scripture is what God says. All Scripture. This is what the Bible claims for itself. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Literally, God breathed. I'm so thankful for that. You know, I'm hanging all my hope of being saved on this book being the Word of God and believing what it says. Somebody says, well, that's your opinion. No, that's my reality. That's my reality. I believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God. The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, Peter said, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now Lydia's heart was closed to the Word of God. Before God opened her heart, she couldn't hear what Paul was saying. She couldn't believe what Paul was saying. Her heart was closed. That's the way we all are by nature. Our heart is closed to the gospel, closed to the truth. But when God opened her heart, look what it says in verse 14. Whose heart the Lord opened, and here's the evidence of an opened heart, that she attended, she took heed to, she listened to carefully, she believed. She believed the things which were spoken of Paul. Now, this is the beginning of the church of Philippi. You know of the epistle of Paul to the Philippians. This is the beginning of this church. And you know, this is the first European convert. First person in Europe that was brought to a saving knowledge of Christ was this woman, Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened. And this church was started by a sovereign act of God, the way all true churches are started. Remember, I read that verse of Scripture, the vision Paul had in the night, a man of Macedonia saying, come over here and help us. He tried to go to several other places, and the Holy Spirit forbid him. But then he has this vision in the night. You see, the Lord's got a people here, and he's going to call them out. Look a couple of pages over to Acts chapter 18. Look at the start of the church at Corinth. Verse 9. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by vision. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. And no man shall set on thee to hurt. Now look at this statement. For I have much people in this city. That's why he's directed to go to Corinth and to keep preaching there. And he was there for 18 months as you go on reading. God says, because I have much people in this city. Same way with Philippi. Matthew 1:21 says, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. His people. Now, we read in verse, back to Acts chapter 16. I love this. Verse 14, and a certain woman named Lydia. A certain woman. There's nothing generic about the gospel. A certain woman. Now, most people present what I guess you'd call a generic gospel. God's salvation is out there for everybody, but it doesn't save anybody in particular. It's up to you what you do with it as to whether or not you'll be saved. The gospel doesn't actually save because it's for everybody. It's generic. It's out there. God loves all men the same. Christ died for all men the same. And this gospel's offered to you. And as to whether or not you're saved, it's up to you. Now, that's a generic gospel, and it's a non-saving gospel. The only gospel that saves is when God Himself saves certain individuals. Christ said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, let me ask you a question. Let me repeat that. I lay down my life for the sheep. That's what the Lord said. Question. Is everybody a sheep? Well, the Lord said to a group of people, you believe not because you're not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. Now, you know that on the last judgment day, there are two types of people, the sheep and the goats. That's what the Lord says. You put the sheep on my right hand, the goats on my left. Now, He saves certain people. And this certain woman whose heart He opened was a woman named Lydia, a seller of purple. She was a businesswoman. And her clientele would have been wealthy people because she was selling purple to wealthy people. That was something only wealthy people had. And so probably she was a pretty wealthy woman herself. She was a businesswoman whose name was Lydia. She was from the city of Thyatira. Thyatira is in Asia. And remember when they tried to go to Asia to preach the gospel, the Holy Spirit forbid them? Well, she was born in Asia, but through the Lord's merciful providence, she was pulled out of Asia. And there she sits to hear the gospel in Philippi. And look what it says. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple out of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us. Now, this word worship is found 10 times in the New Testament. And it's usually a bad thing. It's devout. It's religious. The Lord said, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Notice the word worship is used, but it's in vain they worship me. As a matter of fact, throughout the book of Acts, you know who was on Paul's case trying to persecute him? Devout people. Same word. Devout people. She was a religious woman. And I'm thankful the Lord does save religious people. And but they're usually the ones whose heart are most closed to the truth. Religious people. She was a religious person. She was a devout person. And she was in this group by the riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And Paul, they were looking for a place to go. Well, let's just start here. These people at least claim to have some kind of interest in religion, so we'll just go here and we'll speak to them. And they sat down and spoke to these women by the riverside who were gathered together. There weren't any synagogues here. There was not a large Jewish population, but this was a Gentile church, it was just a Gentile gathering. And they went to this riverside and began to speak to the women. And you know what's interesting? We don't read where the Lord opened any of the other women's hearts. But He did open the heart of Lydia. And I pray that me and you might be just like Lydia. People whose heart the Lord opens. She heard. Look what it says. Which worship God heard us. Whose heart the Lord opened that she attended. She gave careful attention unto the things which were spoken of Paul. She heard us and the Lord opened her heart. Now when we're talking about the heart, I'm not talking about this thing that pumps blood. We're talking about who you are. Your mind, your intellect, your affections, what you love, your will, what you desire, what you want. Now, according to the Scripture, the heart of every man, now listen to this carefully, the heart of every man is deceitful above all things. Jeremiah 17:9, and desperately wicked. Now, I just gave a description of my heart, the way I was born into this world, and your heart. Desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. Somebody says, my heart's not like that. You're deceived then. You're deceived. You've deceived yourself. You've fooled yourself. Listen to this description of the heart in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And that's God's testimony. That's why the wise man said in the book of Proverbs, he that trusteth his heart is a fool. Somebody says, trust your heart, follow your heart, better not. Worst thing you could do, as a matter of fact. Let me repeat that scripture. The heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. And the heart of every natural man is closed to the truth of the gospel. For instance, you're going to tell me that the Bible's inspired? Well, I don't believe that. I mean, how can a book be inspired? I mean, you've got so many different men making different copies and all the different objections. You mean to tell me that you think God is in control of everybody and everything? He's absolutely sovereign and He controls. He's the first cause of everything. Well, I don't believe that. You mean to tell me that you believe men are completely evil? I don't believe that. You mean to tell me that you think that God controls and chooses who will be saved and it's not up to man's choice? Well, I don't believe that. That just doesn't make sense to me. You mean to tell me that Christ's death actually secured salvation? He didn't make salvation possible if I do my part, but He actually finished salvation for everybody He died for? I don't believe that. You mean grace? You're saying that God's grace actually saves, that it's irresistible and I don't believe that. You see, the natural man, his heart is closed to the gospel. Dead in sins. That's why. And that's the way Lydia began hearing this message. She began hearing this message. She heard the things that were spoken by Paul. But what happened? The Lord opened her. You know when you'll believe? When the Lord opens your heart. Not a second before then. Salvation is of the Lord. You and I will believe when the Lord opens our heart. And you know what the most wise thing for you and I to do right now? Lord, open my heart. Don't let my heart stay closed. Open my heart by your grace to be able to hear the gospel. You see, when your heart's closed, you're dead in sins. And somebody says, what's that mean, dead in sins? Well, if you're physically dead, you don't have any of the senses of life, do you? You can't hear, you can't smell, you can't taste, can't feel, can't see. Well, when you're spiritually dead, you don't have the spiritual senses of spiritual life. You can see no beauty in Christ. You see no beauty in the gospel. You can't taste that the Lord is gracious. It's bad news to you until God opens your heart. You can't smell the sweet savor of the gospel. You can't hear with understanding. I mean, your heart's closed. But when God opens the heart, you hear. She attended unto the things which Paul said. When the Lord opened her heart, she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized at her household, she besought us and go on reading. But what did she hear? That's a good question because, you know, we're not given the content of the message that she heard. It just said she heard the things which were spoken of Paul. But we can intelligently see what she heard from the rest of the Scriptures. So I'm not guessing. I'm not trying to make things up. True story. I was an English major in college, and I took a test and gave the right answers, and I got a C. And the guy said, uninspired, the professor. And I thought, well, all right, I'll show him. Next test I took, I didn't read the book, and I made up answers. Made them up. And I got my test back. It said, brilliant. I don't understand where you got these conclusions, but it was brilliant. I thought, so much for academia. Well, I'm not just guessing. I'm not just guessing as to what Paul was saying, because we can ascertain from the Scriptures, from his writing, from the book of Acts, and from the context of this passage of Scripture. Number one, Paul made this statement. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, we preach Christ crucified. Now, I know that the message he was preaching to her was Jesus Christ crucified. The only way you can be saved is by Christ being nailed to that cross. And Christ being nailed to that cross accomplished the salvation of everybody he died for. As a matter of fact, he said in 1 Corinthians 2, 1 and 2, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Nothing else is worth talking about. Well, what do you think about abortion? What do you think about the moral issues of our day? I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What do you think about sexual sin and gay marriages? And I determined not to know anything among you as even worth addressing save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You know, it said of the apostles, they cease not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. So we have some idea of that, what he preached, just from that passage of Scripture. I love what Philip, when he was preaching to the Ethiopian eunuch, the Scripture says he opened his mouth at that same Scripture and preached unto him Jesus. When Peter comes to Cornelius, here's his message: peace by Jesus Christ. The only way you'll have peace is if Christ works out your peace for you and gives it to you. He is Lord of all. I love saying that. Jesus is Lord. You don't make Him Lord. He is Lord. Somebody says, He's not my Lord. Yeah, He is. Yeah, He is. He's everybody's Lord, whether they know it or not. You are in His hands for Him to do with you whatsoever He's pleased to. He's Lord. He's Lord. That's the preaching of Jesus Christ. His Lordship. Now, we know from this passage of Scripture, in the context of it, look in verse 10 of Acts chapter 16. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Now, we know from that whatever Paul did, he preached the gospel unto them. Now, the gospel has a certain content. He preached the gospel unto them. And look what happened in verse 16. Like I said, this is the founding of the church at Philippi, and there's basically three stories in this chapter. One, Lydia. Number two, this damsel, little slave girl that was demon-possessed. And Paul cast out the demon. And the third is the Philippian jailer. This is the establishing of the church at Philippi. But look in verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with the spirit of divination. She was a fortune teller. She was a soothsayer. She was one of these people where you see on the side of the road, you know, come and get your fortune read, get your palm read, all that kind of stuff. That's what she was. Which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. They made some money out of this woman. Could she really tell the future? Well, if the Lord gave her the ability to, I guess she could, but I don't know. I don't know whether that stuff. Anyway, somebody thought she could because they paid money for it. The same, verse 17, the same followed by Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now, what was Paul preaching? The way of salvation. This is very kind of curious in verse 18. And this she did many days. And Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that same hour. Paul was getting irritated. I mean, she was following him everywhere and saying, these are the servants of the Most High God that show us the way of salvation. What's wrong with that? She never said the way of salvation. If you see a false prophet, what he says generally is true. It's what he doesn't say that identifies him as a false prophet. Anytime anybody preaches a message where they purposely leave something out in order to keep from offending people, they're false prophets. Write it down. Write it down. But we know from this passage of Scripture, Paul was preaching the way of salvation. Well, what does my mind go to right off the bat? The Lord said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way. He didn't say, I'll show you the way. He didn't say, I'll guide you along the way. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now here's the way of salvation. The Lord said, I am the way. And the best way to illustrate that I can think of is baptism. Baptism, the fact of people going under the water and coming back out. That's a weird religious ritual if you don't understand what it means. Why do they do that? That's strange. I mean, going down under the water and coming back up, and what's that all about? It's what it pictures. It's what it represents. You see, baptism, the teaching of baptism, is union with Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ lived, I lived in Him. When Jesus Christ was on the cross, I was in Him. You see, He was bearing my sin. That's the reason He died. My sin. I was in Him. If you're a believer, do you know when Christ was nailed to that cross? You were nailed to that cross. When they took Him into that tomb, they took His dead, lifeless body off the cross and put Him in that tomb, I was right there with Him. When He opened His eyes in the darkness, I was in Him. When He walked out of that tomb, Paul said, I was crucified with Christ. When He walked out of that tomb, I did too. You see, my entire hope of salvation is that I was in Him. It doesn't have anything to do with my works, His works. That's my hope. I was in Him. That's what the Lord means when He says, I am the way to the Father. No man comes to the Father but by me. You know when I came to the Father? When Christ came to the Father. And I was in Him. When He came into God's presence presenting His own blood, I did too, because I was in Him. That's what the Lord meant when He said to John the Baptist, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. What Christ did, He did as an us. He did it for His sheep, for His people, for Lydia. For Lydia. You see, Lydia was one of His. I am the truth. He is the truth of who God is. You won't know God apart from knowing Jesus Christ the Lord. All the fullness, Colossians 2:9, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in His body. He's the truth concerning God. He's the truth concerning me and you. How bad are we? Look at the cross and you'll find out. You know, not only was I in Him, but I was one of those people saying, let Him be crucified. I was one of them. You were too. Somebody says, no, I wasn't. Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. I'm telling you. When Adam fell, you were in Him. And I love that passage of Scripture by death passed upon all men in that all sinned. Everybody sinned when Adam sinned. Everybody fell when Adam fell. That's the same way with Christ. When He obeyed, I obeyed. Everybody in Him. And I see my own sinfulness only in light of Jesus Christ crucified. That's where I find out how bad I am. I don't do that many bad things. Don't even look at that. For one thing, you do a whole lot more bad things than you admit. No doubt about that. Somebody says, I don't do that. Yeah, you do. But the point is, you don't look in your own heart and the bad things you do to find out your own sinfulness. You looked at Jesus Christ crucified. There's where your sinfulness is. You hated Christ so much you wanted Him dead. That's the natural man. That's where we find out about ourselves. But here is the truth. The way of salvation is what Christ did. I love saying this. Jesus Christ, when He died on Calvary's tree, my salvation was accomplished. And it doesn't have anything to do with any works that I've done. Hebrews 1:3 says, when He had by Himself. That means you had nothing to do with it. When He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down. The work being finished. Now that's the way of salvation. It's the way of grace. That's what she heard. Look what else she heard. Verse 29. I'm sure Paul addressed this. Verse 29, then he, that Philippian jailer, called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? No more important question to consider. And notice, he didn't say, what must I do to save myself? He said, what must I do to be saved? And look at the answer. Paul said in verse 31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. His utter lordship. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That means Savior. Aren't you glad He came to save sinners? That's His purpose in coming. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. God's Christ. God's Messiah. God's prophet. He's the Word of God. God's priest. If He represents you before God, everything's fine. God's King. Yet have I set my King on my holy hill of Zion. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now look back in verse 14. A certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul, and when she was baptized, and her household. Evidently, the Lord saved everybody in her house. People have taken this and the thing of the Philippian jailer and says, oh, his household was baptized too. And he said, see, there's household salvation. If you're saved, you have a right to believe God's going to save everybody in your house. I like what one fellow said about that. I want the Lord to save everybody in my house, and your house too. No question about that. We want that. But somebody once said, well, the Philippian jailer, they actually use this for infant baptism. You know, everybody in your house is to be baptized. You know, just baptize them all. And said, well, the Philippian jailer's youngest child was 19 years old. Somebody says, where are you getting that in the Scripture? Same place you get infant baptism. Same place. You can't make a supposition like that. But the point is, she was baptized. She heard something about baptism. Now, look back in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. I hope that's what's going on right now. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. So evidently he talked about what baptism represents and what it means. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And that's a mighty good question. Do I need to know something more? Do I need to understand more? Do I need to have a better life? Do I need to be able to at least quit this sin and start doing that good thing before I'm baptized? I want to know. Is there anything hindering me? Is there any reason why I should not be baptized? Good question. And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Now, what's that mean? That means you believe that He is equal with God because He is God. That's what you believe. If you believe He's God the Son, you believe that He is equal with God. You believe that? He's equal with God because He is God. If you believe He's the Son of God, that means you believe He's the creator of the universe. He said, "Let us make man in our own image." You believe that He's controlling everything if you believe He's the Son of God. If you believe He's the Son of God, you believe that if He died for you, you must be saved. You don't believe there's any way He can fail in His intentions. He's God. If He died for you, if He lived for you, you must be saved. Now, I love what this man, how he answered. He didn't say, "I believe I'm saved." He didn't say, "I believe Jesus Christ died for me." He didn't say, "I believe I've been born again." He didn't say, "I believe I'm one of the elect." He said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." I do too. Me too. I'm right there with her. When somebody hears and believes the gospel, you will not be able to keep them from confessing Christ in believer's baptism. You know, a lot of times preachers try to manipulate people. "You need to be baptized. You need to be baptized. How come you haven't been baptized?" I heard Greg Elmquist say this, and I agree with it. Every time I talk about baptism, I'm hoping to manipulate some people to be baptized, which is ridiculous. If you hear the gospel, if I hear the gospel, we're going to want to confess Christ in believer's baptism. We don't have to be cajoled or manipulated or made to feel. That's what we're going to want to do. And that's what Lydia did. That's what this Ethiopian eunuch did. That's what Lydia did. She was baptized. Verse 15, she was baptized and her household, and she besought us, saying, "If you judge me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. She's somebody whose heart the Lord opened. Lord, open my heart. Let's pray. Lord, we ask in the high and holy name of Your Son that You, by Your Spirit and by Your grace, will open the heart of every man, woman, and boy and girl in this room, and give us the grace to be attentive to the things that are spoken and to believe. Bless this message for Christ's sake. In His name we pray. Dwayne, come lead us in closing hymn.